I had a meeting with a particular prospect. And this guy was he'd been around for a while, and it's a very competitive market here in Dallas as far as staffing goes. Very, very competitive. And he'd been around the block a few times. Went out, gave my presentation. I gave him everything, man. And this was still early on in my sales career. I thought I did great, and left him. I told him I'd come back with a proposal, all kinds of stuff. And he said, fine, just drop it off. So everything that we had, pricing, services, the people we had needed, all that fun stuff, it checked all the boxes, right? So I dropped everything off and didn't hear from him. So I, followed up, didn't hear from him again. So I followed up again, and he said, no, we filled that position with one of your competitors. And I said, okay, well, I said, that's kind of odd. You know what? I felt like we had everything that you were looking for. We had people ready to go. The pricing was right, all that fun stuff. He said, yeah, it seemed like it, but you didn't ask for the business. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, you came out, you gave your presentation, which was great. And that's what it was. It was a presentation, but you didn't ask me for the business. And which was a real pompous ass thing to say, but something that stuck with me for the rest of my career and will never go away from me.
This episode is brought to you by Leap Consulting Solutions. Digitally transform your business the right way, the Leap way. Visit www.leapconsultingsolutions.com to find out more on how your business can build, change, adopt technology the right way, the Leap way.
What is happening, Rob?
I can't tell, Laura. I'm glad I was like, is Laura going to be mad when I flick her off to start this episode?
No, you're number one, Rob. You're number one.
No, Lauren's flicking me off, guys. I don't even know what to say. Lauren Jones, how the hell are you?
I am super, super awesome. It's a thirsty Thursday, and I am looking forward to the weekend. This has been a week. It's been
Lauren doesn't drink, by the way, so thirsty Thursday means like iced tea.
Yeah, I just need more water today, guys. Okay. or more tea, whatever. But yes, it's been a week, a hell of a week. We had some really exciting things this week. Hannah Pryor released her book on Tuesday. Erica Keswin released her book on Tuesday. Lisa Sun released her book. So, it has been an awesome lady author week. We have book number two coming out. So it's
we're going to have to drop all the links.
Yep. Next year, Lady Leaders number two. We are in full on creative mode right now. So we're super excited. We have some really good shape around it. So I'm excited for that. So amazing, women crush the week from an author perspective. And I just couldn't be more tickled.
That's awesome.
Yep. All right.
And Rob is potentially getting another dog, guys. And you know what, Rob? I have to tell you this. You texted me and said, should I get this dog? Knowing that I was going to say yes. So I was
I just wanted, I know my audience. I just wanted to be able to go back to Wendy and say Lauren said it was a good idea.
Lauren said it was okay. Because you knew that I would say yes. I have six dogs.
There's no way you're going to say no. I knew how to do it.
And you're speaking my language when you're going to have Layla and potentially Lucy. I mean, alliteration is my jam.
Yeah, we're all. So, it has to tie back to a rock song. So anyway,
all right,
guys, can I introduce our guest? Today we're joined by Andrew Hill, former owner, executive editor of Staffing Monthly.
Yep. Hey, yes. How are you?
Super.
We're good, man.
We are fired up.
We got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, good.
So,
no, we have a bone to pick
not
with
it. You.
Not okay. With you. We have a bone to pick Andrew. With the industry, with our recruiters, because we've heard about what you're going through, and we're ticked.
So, guys, Andrew is in the job-seeking process as an executive, right? He's not joining as an individual producer. He's, been a C-suite member before. And so those are the jobs that he's applying for. Mm-hmm. And so we have some bones to pick with the industry. But first, we got to get through our get to know Andrew questions. So,
oh boy. Oh my.
Andrew.
Yes.
First, you're in the hot seat.
First things first. We need a book recommendation from you, sir.
Book recommendation. All right. There's two. Actually, I've got a couple that I can recommend. The first one, you may have read, it's The Alchemist. And I actually just discovered it. not too long ago, got through it, loved it. You got it up there?
Yeah, it's on that.
I've got it somewhere here.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. You guys are way ahead of me then.
We're book nerds. I love it.
I'm always looking for a good recommendation. The Alchemist to me was spectacular just from the standpoint of, it's self-discovery, keep going. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to, all of these things. And I love it no matter. And yes, it does apply to what's happening to me now, but it's also, it's more of a whole picture life type of thing. And I love it. The other one that I actually just finished. So I'm glad this is, we're in the trust tree here.
Along with all of our listeners.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. The book that I just finished, which I thought was really good, it's called Unfuck Yourself.
Yes,
it's outstanding. And I love, it's very straightforward. It's very to the point. It's a book that if you need a swift kick in the ass, it is right there for you, which is great. If you need, if you're in a rut, whatever it is, it helps you get out of that rut. Or if you need general guidance, it's really good. I love the fact that it's all, like I said, very straightforward. It is such a no BS approach. So
you cannot be a victim after you read that book. I'll tell you that. You gotta buck up, buttercup, because shit's gonna get real in life and you need to find coping mechanisms to get through it. And if you can't, that's on you. You know, it's very much in your face like that, which I always appreciate. But if you're looking for a book recommend, I gotta tell you, here's my girl, Hannah Pryor, Good Awkward. Go get it.
All right. Look at me. I'm typing this out. Look at this. Right. Yeah, taking notes.
I gotta check that.
Taking notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic recommends. I love The Alchemist and The Unfuck Yourself. And we always love a good reason to have an explicit podcast. So,
I just opened up the doors for that, didn't I? So there we go.
Yep. You turned in. I love it. Okay. So, second question. Most memorable moment in staffing.
Yeah. There's been a few, I love answering questions with multiple answers. It's great. Gives me the chance to talk more. Great. I can tell you early on, one of the most memorable moments, and this is one that really drew me into the staffing industry. Nobody that I know of graduates college and says, oh my God, I want to go do light industrial staffing. That's exactly what I want. I want to go.
Unless your parents own a staffing company, right?
Yes, 100%. And then you're that person. That's right. And you really don't have a choice at that point, to be honest with you. So
probably not.
But I can tell you that I was fresh out of school. I spent a year at a company and then that was not a staffing company and then moved into the staffing industry. And early on, I can tell you one moment, and I still think about this, it still gets to me every once in a while, is we had a lady that came in she was looking for a job. She was struggling. She was struggling. You could tell there were some issues going on. We promised her, you know what? We're going to do everything we can. We're going to get you something. We did. We ended up getting her a position that she ended up staying there. I swear the last time we had checked this a long time ago, she'd been there like 15 years. After she got that position, she came back in and she was in tears and she was so thankful and so appreciative of what we had done for her because she was in such a bad way. And us coming up with the right position for her and honestly, anything at that time would have taken care of her. It really would have. But us finding that position for her and being able to put her to work, helped her family out, helped keep her from being kicked out of her apartment. And I can still see her and it's been 20 plus years since that happened. And I can still see her face and still see the tears in her eyes when she came in to thank us, which was, it still gets me to this day. And it's one of those things that, that you're hooked. Once you help someone like that and you can see that you actually did something, it really, it takes it beyond the transaction. Really. It's not just a, hey, we were at 99% fills this week, whatever it was. We got this lady a job. It helped her family out and ended up being a career for her. That was a big deal. That to me, that was early on when I first started in the staffing industry, and it got me hooked because it really it makes you feel good that you're helping somebody out, right? I mean, you're literally helping somebody out and providing them a career. So that to me was a big memorable moment for me in staffing. And there's other memorable moments, of course, you know, growth and things like that, being a part of a team that grows and does really well. Those are great. But the individual things like that those are the things that stick with you. So anyway, there's my memorable moment. So
I love that. I love that.
What is your, so moving on, that's a great story, by the way, and that would get anyone.
I love it. That never gets old.
Thank you.
No, I think that's why we work in the best industry when it's done well.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. By the way, nice Able mug, Lauren. That's throwback piece of swag. I got one too.
It's a collector's item, Rob. Yeah. It's collector's item.
I actually have a bunch of Able backs behind me somewhere. Anyway. All right. Anyway, shout out to Andre and Gerald. Well,
I still have the little plant.
Oh God, that thing died so easily on me.
Oh no, I still have that alive.
You're way better of a mom than I am. General. All right. What is your greatest achievement so far? Otherwise,
you know what? There's a couple things. Let me answer this with more than one answer, so I can talk more. So.
All right. Andrew knew the questions ahead of time and prepared.
I did. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So I cheated on the test a little bit, but that's all right. I would say professionally from the standpoint, Staffing Monthly, to me, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was a one man band when I first built it. And so it was something that I have a bit of a creative mind. And so the ability to come up with, I did the design, I did the interviews, I did the advertising sales, I did all of it 100%. And I absolutely loved it. I loved the feedback that we got from it. The feedback was, this is great. The industry needs this. We've needed this for a while, so on and so forth. So to me, it was it was something that I was very, very proud of. And it really, it ticked all the boxes for me. So I was able to interact with people. I was able to get my creative juices flowing. Design things. Sales is a huge part of my background as well. So you know, professionally, Staffing Monthly was a big deal. So I've sold Staffing Monthly to Dan Morey with Staffing Mastery. He's doing a great job with it, and he's carrying it on, and it's wonderful. So if you haven't subscribed to it, you need to. So it's great. The other achievement, and I don't know if this is considered an achievement, and I was kind of racking my brain about it, but our family is tight. We're very tight. We're very proud of our family and especially our kids and they've grown up to be, we like to think that they've grown up to be halfway decent folks, or more than halfway decent. So, I'm very proud of them. And now that's not my achievement. That's my wife. She gets all the credit for that. So I don't know if it's really an achievement to have a family, but to be proud of where they're at, and that's a big part of what we are. So there you go. There's some achievements for you.
I love that. Of course it is. Of course. Well, let's go to the other side of this, and let's talk a little bit about your greatest failure.
All right. Let's see.
Where it gets raw and real.
this is where it gets. Yeah. This is. I will go back way back, and I can remember this like it was yesterday. And it's something that stuck with me and still sticks with me to this day. And it had, when I started in the industry, I started in sales. I was doing sales. I was out, I was cold calling. I was making it happen. I was in a full suit and tie. It was 150 degrees in Dallas, and we were all over the map, and building it the hard way, which I still actually think is the right way, but that's okay. Anyway, so I went out, I had a meeting with a particular prospect, and this guy was he'd been around for a while, and it's a very competitive market here in Dallas as far as staffing goes, very, very competitive. And he'd been around the block a few times. Went out, gave my presentation, I gave him everything, man. And this was still early on in my sales career, and I thought I did great. And left him. I told him I'd come back with a proposal, all kinds of stuff. And he said, "That's fine, just drop it off." So everything that we had, pricing, services, the people we had needed, all that fun stuff, it checked all the boxes, right? So I dropped everything off. and didn't hear from him. So I, you know, followed up, didn't hear from him again. So I followed up again and he said, no, we filled that position with one of your competitors. And I said, okay, well, I said, that's kind of odd. You know what? I felt like we had everything that you were looking for. We had people ready to go. The pricing was right. All that fun stuff. He said, yeah, it seemed like it, but you didn't ask for the business. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, yeah, you came out, you gave your presentation, which was great. And that's what it was. It was a presentation, but you didn't ask me for the business. And which was a real pompous ass thing to say, but something that stuck with me for the rest of my career and will never go away from me. And I wrote our sales manual for the company. And that is one of the most important things that I talked to them about. And so that was a big failure from my standpoint of, you know what, I had to learn that, you know what, it's not just given. They're not just going to hand things to you. You've got to go out and you've got to close. Your job as a salesperson is to close. And if you don't go out there and ask for the business, they're not just going to hand it to you on a silver platter. It's not the way that it works. So you got to go work for it. And you got to work your ass off for it is what you have to do. And yeah. You can still maintain the right way to do sales, which the way that I consult and I tell people to do sales, you've got to build a relationship. You've got to get that back and forth going. You've got to get the rapport, but you still have to sell. You've still got to close. And so biggest failure, probably not asking for the business, but it actually probably turned into a positive because I was able to coach on that for the remainder of my career. So yeah, there's a failure.
In some way, shape, or form. My uncle always tells me you got to ask for the deal. All right. Mm-hmm. And the last one, and you cannot have two answers on this.
I know.
There's only two options.
Okay.
Dog or cat person.
1,000% dog person. So
yeah. Right. You're, yes.
All right. 100%. We've got a 12-year-old yellow lab, Murphy. Love him.
Oh, I love that name.
Murph is, he's moving right along. He's a lot older, a lot slower, but he's still sweet as can be. And 100% dog person. And I can't do the cat thing. It's not.
So. What about a raccoon? That's a puppy cat. So, you know.
Trash panda? I don't know that I could do a trash panda.
Lorens are pretty cute, but they're hilarious when they're grabbing her face.
They are all right, hilarious.
All right, guys, we got to get to this.
Okay.
So we got to get into it.
Yeah. We've only got 20 minutes left. All right. Or less. So we got beef.
Yes. We got beef.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Is in the job seeking process.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your experience with recruiters so far, brother.
Well, it's been interesting. It's been different than what I had been used to in the industry prior to my last position. And so it feels like things have changed quite a bit. And so when I say that they've changed, I feel like it's become a little bit less personal. A little bit. I told you about the story, the most memorable moment, and how great it was to fill that position for someone. And it almost feels as if it's become a little bit more transactional and less of a, I think this guy is a great fit here. I'm going to work hard to try and get him in, try and get, you know, move the process along. What I've had is, which I see a lot on LinkedIn. I see a lot of recruiters that complain about ghosting, about the applicants that are ghosting them. Right. And so, you know, there's a lot of complaining about, hey, they did not call it back. They're not emailing me back, so on and so forth. Well, I also have seen that as well. And this isn't across the board at all, but I've seen it as well in my journey in that the recruiters, either they're too busy or they don't want to call with either bad news or no news. So they mm-hmm. just don't call or email at all. And so the problem with that is you've got, then it falls back on the applicant, right? It comes back on the applicant and they're wondering, they're in Neverland. What are we doing here? Is this moving forward? And I was telling you guys before we started recording of an instance where it's still moving along right now, but what I hadn't been contacted by a recruiter for, it had been a couple of weeks and we were waiting on feedback from the founder of the company. And so I called in and I said, you know, I realize you haven't gotten back to me. I'm assuming that things aren't going the way that I thought they were. You know, I'm probably not a fit, but I just wanted to confirm that. And the recruiter said, no, that's not the case. I just didn't have any information. So I just didn't reach out. So I was like, okay, well, I understand that, and that's fine, but at least let me know so I'm not either A, bothering you, or B, sitting around wondering what in the world is going on. And so, and it goes back to, honestly, it's basic training. It's part of the hiring process with getting these people in, the recruiters and things like that. They've got to know that this, again, it's a people business, it's a touch business. You've got to stay in touch with these people. And even if they're not a fit for this type of position or this particular position, they may be a fit down the road. But if that applicant has a bad taste in their mouth, then they may be less apt to want to look at it. So that's a little bit of where I'm at.
Now I'll give you the quick version of it. Right. And it's so funny because I was just seeing our buddy Casey Jaycox say, the most important thing is not winning the deal, it's winning the relationship. And he has a whole book about this. Yeah. And the best way to build a relationship is to give bad news in a timely manner. Mm. Oh. Bad news build relationships.
People want feedback. I mean, there's research. There's people want to know, good, bad, or indifferent. They just want to know. You know, it's the not knowing that I think is more like infuriating, more frustrating, more disheartening, you know. And I have said this on I don't know how many episodes of this podcast, people. If you are not recruiting or leading with empathy, you should not be in this business.
Yeah,
you should not. Just, you know, exit stage right and go find an industry that doesn't require empathy, because looking for a job sucks. You are essentially seeking out the acceptance of strangers with a piece of paper that was invented in 1482. Okay. So this is a humbling and emotional experience, and just don't be a dick.
Right.
Like,
sales also requires empathy in general. Like, if you want to be a good salesperson, you need to meet people where they are and understand human dynamics and group dynamics and psychology. So,
and leaders and agencies have metrics around this. There's a systemic issue to this, and it's the fact that you're not tracking it. If you're not tracking a response time, like, what is your time to respond? Not what is your time to fill. What is your time to respond? That should be your number one metric. Mm-hmm. That helps you understand if you are doing right by the candidates that you're engaging with. And this like fires me up with my next one getting all red. little vein in my forehead's going to pop out in a hot minute. This infuriates me because I was working with two recent college graduates. Again, these are people that are fresh out of school, putting their trust in our industry, never having much job experience at all. And what do? We make them submit, in my two cases, between these two kids, they submitted 160 applications. That's absurd. Right. With, if I did the math right, less than a 20% response rate. That's absurd.
That's terrible.
It's mean, it's cruel, and we have new kids coming out of school, putting their trust in our industry, and here we are just crapping all over them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about Andrew's story, right? Like,
he's given his career to this industry. And what do? Yeah. We crap all over him.
Yeah. But like that story of helping that one person in their time of need, right? Like that's the best part of the industry. Like I said it. And I think that building relationships with people is the way to be successful in this industry.
Yes. And when I hear a recruiter say, the squeaky candidate gets the oil, I want to, like, if somebody said that to me, I couldn't trust myself not to fire them on the spot.
That says, you know what that says to me? And I'm right there with you. That says, I need them to do my job for me. Here, you just keep calling me and okay, that one. Yeah, that one just keeps calling. So I'll just use that one. No, do your job. Go through the system.
Do your job.
Go through the ATS. Yeah, just do your job. Just make the phone calls. Make the right connections. It's not that difficult to do. And besides that, it's your freaking job. So
it's your job. And I used to tell leaders, break it down to the ridiculous. Like, we used to have this metric, 25 to stay alive, right? And it was 25 people in your pipeline. That meant if you're in professional services, you have to make 5 phone calls a day to nurture your pipeline. 5 phone calls. That's all we're asking you to do to make sure that you're staying connected. You're staying in the know. You are with them on their journey. And, you know, the 25 to stay alive was just, you know, kind of a play on words, but it was more about, again, the nurturing and the humanity that is required to be in this people business. And if you just are not prepared to either lead that way or do your job that way, again, there are other industries that would be happy to have you. This just but isn't one
of those. Don't respond, so don't worry.
That's scared. Shots fired.
That's right.
Shots fired over the bow.
Oh, I love it. 25 to stay alive. That makes sense. You know what? Make it easy for the recruiters. Break it down into stuff we used to do with our sales reps as well. They're like, oh my God, you mean I have to make 150 phone calls this week? You do, but break that not down that by day and then break that down by the morning and by the afternoon. It's not that difficult. And really, honestly, you should be doing a hell of a lot more than that. And if you are, you're probably successful. If you automatically feel like you're make, that's too much. That's, oh my God, I've got to do this. Yeah. Like you said, there's probably somewhere else that you probably need to go looking for. I think another position.
Yes, I agree. And Keith Waitman, we were just talking yesterday, you know, we have this misnomer, right? That activity equals results. It, mm-hmm. it should be the right activity equals right. results, right?
Absolutely.
And we have to be careful because, again, in this industry, we have this tendency to think that just more is better. Yeah. And I'm going to say this again, better is better. More is not better. Better is better. So be better, please. When you know better, do better. Now you know better because we've educated you on the experience that people are having, both new and those that have given their careers to this industry. It sucks. Fix it. Do better. You now know.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. And it's, I honestly think, and I hate to say this, it's probably only going to get worse as we move forward. Technology is getting better. And all of the bells and whistles with the technology from the technology piece, they're awesome and they're necessary. And you got to have these things in your business. Number one, to stay relevant. Number two, to make sure that you're staying ahead of the competition. That's a huge deal. But the more that we start to rely on these things from doing our day to day, the less that these recruiters are going to interact with the customers, interact with the applicants, which is not good. The companies that will get ahead are the ones that utilize that technology, those stacks, those integrations, those things that they're using, and use the customer service side as well, and stay in touch with these people and make sure they're doing all of those things that you talked about. Those are the ones that will succeed. Those are the ones that are gonna plow right through this. The ones that don't and rely on this technology, and they'll fall backwards. They absolutely will fall backwards.
Yes, no. I was quoted last week, and I've said this before. AI and automation is not going to replace you, but a recruiter that knows how to intelligently use AI and automation will. That's so these tools are enablement. They are meant to help you do more and be better, faster, stronger. They are meant to supercharge your desk and, you know, all of those buzzwords. Ooh, but they are not to be used irresponsibly. With great power comes great responsibility, Spider-Man. And so we have to use these things intelligently. And I mean, I bet you would have loved to get a little automated message from a recruiter that was written by them saying, I'm with you, man. Mm-hmm. We're making progress. Didn't matter that it was automated. You just wanted to hear something.
Absolutely.
So it's like these things can be made, these tools can be leveraged in the right way with your words and your message. And it can be in an automated way. We just need to communicate. And the metric is time to respond, figure it out. Ghosting goes both ways. If somebody's ghosted you, you need to look in the mirror. Why did they ghost?
Absolutely. 100%. I agree. I will tell you this. It's interesting what you just said. There was a company that I had actually applied with a little while back. And I actually, in hindsight, looking at the job that I applied for, I probably shouldn't have applied for it. It had some skills. I think maybe I was,
Patient thing again, Lauren.
I know. So let me throw a stat
We're
at you.
So brave.
Sorry. Men, if they feel like they meet 30% of the criteria, will respond. A woman needs to meet 100% of the criteria to respond.
We are so brave. That's all I
heard that work.
Okay.
I'm hearing that work raise.
Okay. More bread. Okay.
Brave.
That's right. That's the, if you see a job description and you think, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I got this.
Lauren would do that now, but you know,
now I would code my life. That out. My God, I'll do that right now. So yeah, that's.
I think I do it on the daily when people are like, "Do you do this?" Absolutely.
That's right. We're always in. We're in yes mode. Yes. Absolutely, 100%. Well, there was a company that I had applied with, and again, it was probably whatever it was, whatever percentage of that job description I thought I could do. I thought, well, yes, I am in. This is perfect. Do I know code? No, I don't know code, but we'll figure this out on the fly.
I can figure that out.
Yeah. Give me 10-15 minutes in a YouTube tutorial. I'll be great.
I mean, honestly, or just learning how to prompt.
Right. Can
you give me a React code that does this?
Yeah, sure. ChatGPT. So I applied and I got a response back, which was great. And I know it was an automated response, but the way that it was written, and I wish I had filed it away. I wish I had it ready to go. But the way that it was written seemed very personal, and it was very, it was from the founder of the company. It was actually an agency that I had applied through. The founder of the company, the email came from him and said, "You're not quite a fit for this position, right? The skill sets didn't match up, but I know this can be frustrating. And I know, you know, you're anxious to get a job. Here are some resources to maybe help you out in your journey," like on and on. And this email was great. I mean, it was spectacular. And I was shocked. I'm thoroughly impressed. And that's all it takes. And it's an automated message. That email went out to everybody else that got denied as well. But it made me feel like, oh,
you got something. Yeah. You got something. I did this back in friggin' 2004 in Stockton in light industrial work. I had a handout that if I couldn't hire somebody, there were three agencies there that I knew didn't do background checks, didn't do drug screens, you know, didn't. That I knew could take somebody that maybe we couldn't hire. And you know what? People left thinking like they got something. Yeah. And so if you can go forward with high mind, give somebody something, you know, some sort of, don't make them feel like they wasted their time. I think that's what always made me sick to my stomach is I never wanted to feel like anybody that came and dealt with my team or dealt with me was wasting their time. You know, it's just, makes me
incredible opportunity in the best industry in the world.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No,
have that impact any moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. And I think that's great. Yeah. Giving them resources, giving them something, because a flat out no is very, it's demotivating. It's frustrating, like you said. Especially you invested time with your crew to do this. That person's invested time. At the time, they probably were filling out a very long application, and they had all this time invested in the process, and then just to hear no, we're not helping you with that. So yeah, giving them alternatives is a big deal. So anyway, it's not. And I hate to paint this nasty picture of what I'm going through.
We have to tell the truth. It's not nasty.
It's just the truth. And I think people need to hear that, you know, that this is what's happening today with all the technology that we have and all the tools at our disposal. This is what's happening today with a senior executive that's given their career to this industry. By the way, guys, Andrew Hill, you can find him on LinkedIn. He's he's open for work. So make sure you look him up.
Thank you for that.
But you're welcome. But new people coming to our industry, how are we ever going to attract the talent that we so desire? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he or she who has the candidate wins. How are we going to do that if we treat them like doo-doo?
Absolutely. Not like doo-doo.
Oh, exactly. You're being mature about that. All right. Well, Andrew, this has been fantastic.
This has been amazing.
We appreciate you coming on here and picking a bone with the industry.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Conversation.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No, don't worry. All right, everybody. Andrew, right, Lauren, thank y'all.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Y'all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the You Own the Experience podcast.
You can catch all our previous episodes at whywepodcast.com and learn more about our thriving staffing community by signing up for the YOE newsletter.
And coming soon is Staffing Huddle, an online open community dedicated to your staffing success.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Lauren. Go do something good.
Bye, guys.